Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, November 15, 2022. I look out my window in the Northland, and there are snowflakes falling. Nate Bucati, is there snow falling in Overland Park?
I don't see any snowflakes right now, but it's been snowing kind of lightly here. It snowed pretty thick last night. And this morning when I was driving in, there were light snowflakes. It's hard for me to tell looking out the window right now. I don't see many snowflakes coming down right now. But there's a light dusting of snow on the porch here. Or on the deck.
It is. The flakes are coming down good out here now. Not too bad. But it is snowing in the Northland. And so we are very excited about that. But kids, go to school. All right. Now we are going to switch things up. And I believe that I can speak for Nate. We were both very intimidated by our next guest to talk to her because I tried to read through your resume, and it took an hour and a half. We don't have that much time on the show. You're a very impressive Chiefs fan. That's why you're nominated for NFL Fan of the Year. Let's introduce Dr. Amy Patel and her husband, Joe, to the studio. Do we call you doctor, or can we call you Amy? What's the protocol here, please?
No formalities. Just call me Amy.
Can I call you doctor?
You can call me whatever you want. Okay. I'm so excited to be here.
She's very disappointed that you're not here, though, Stephen.
I'm going to make it up to you. Okay,
It's okay. I love Nate, but I love you too, Stephen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let's get this out of the way. I know this whole interview is gonna be about you, but let's get this out. I'm a big fan of your brother Samir. So can you tell me about this Samir who sends me many a direct message on Twitter? He keeps up to date on many events that he might think I'd be interested in. He sent me pictures of a trip that you guys took to Saturday Night Live.
No way.
This is that's a Samir's my guy. He called me the Mexican Rick Ross, and so I feel like I'm a fan. Tell me about your brother because no kidding. He talks about you, and he's like your PR agent and all the accomplishments you have. What about where is Samir right now?
So currently he's in Atlanta, Georgia, but he is a diehard Chiefs fan like me. We grew up loving the Chiefs. He's in Kansas City quite a bit. He'll be back on Thursday. And, he's just a very passionate individual. We're very different people, but we're very close. And, yes, he is one of my biggest cheerleaders. I don't know how he gets any work done in a day. He's always DMing and texting my husband and I too, and I don't know how he keeps up on everything. Pop culture, you know, Taylor Swift. You know, he loves her.
Yes, he does.
It's just mind blowing to me. But you know, I don't really, I usually don't give him compliments, but he is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met intellectually. His, he just knows a ridiculous amount of information. So, and he's very entertaining. So, he just, he keeps me on my toes. That's for sure.
He had a tweet that I liked. We were talking about Taylor Swift, and I mentioned I like Taylor Swift. I've taken my daughters to see her, and he tweeted, hearing SSJ praise the laurels of Taylor Swift on Sports Radio 810 truly warms my heart and restores my faith in humanity. Hashtag Taylor Swift Eras Tour.
So, wow.
he hit all the notes there. But this is about, so Samir, if you're listening, you're the man. Okay, so this is all about, by the way, Joe, hello, Joe, how are you? I want to say hello to you as well.
Hello, I'm good.
Okay, Joe's like, hey, don't you know what about me? I'm Joe. So it's nice, like it introduces Joe. Dr. Amy Patel, you are the Chiefs fan of the year. I saw the video when Clark Hunt and Roger Goodell walked up to you, and just take us back to that moment and what this experience has been like so far for you.
Real quick, I want to say this, Stephen.
What's that?
Amy is wearing an incredibly, is that an actual starter jacket?
It is not. It's Mitchell and Ness, but Steven, you're missing out on a little bit of Tuesday morning Chiefs pizzazz. I have this shiny red jacket on.
It is beautiful. That is a cool, I mean, she's
Thanks.
Wearing like the coolest Chiefs jacket I've seen in a long, long time. It's like that red, you know, I don't know
Nate.
What you call that material. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Nate.
Yes.
She's the freaking Chiefs fan of the year. What do you think she's going to wear?
Well, I'm not saying I'm surprised by it, but I just kind of want to, you know, for the audience out there that can't see, I just want to paint the picture that she didn't just like, you know, half-ass it on her way in here today. She put on an incredibly cool Chiefs jacket. So.
Well, now that we know that Nate expected you to half-ass it on this interview, so thank you for not doing that. But take us back to how this all started and how you ended up being nominated for NFL Fan of the Year.
Yeah, so initially, this was a complete and utter surprise to me. So initially, I was chosen as one of the Lamar Hunt Legacy honorees. And that to be chosen for that, you have to be nominated. So in the summer, there was a call for nominations. And my husband, Joe, who is sitting next to me, nominated me. And so about 6 weeks later, I get a phone call from the Chiefs. And they said that, you know, congratulations, you're one of the finalists for the Lamar Hunt Legacy Honoree. And so then they proceeded to interview me for 30 minutes about, you know, my love of the Chiefs, the work that I do in Kansas City, my community impact. And then they said, well, you'll hear from us in a couple weeks or so, if you got it or not. So I was like, okay. So then 2 weeks later about, they call me and said, you know, you've been chosen as one of the Lamar Hunt Legacy Honorees, and we would like to acknowledge you and recognize you at the home opener. And I said, oh, that's awesome. So then we had about two more weeks leading to that home opener, and the plans kept changing in terms of tailgating. They wanted me to tailgate, but the location kept changing. And I thought, this is really weird. Why does the location keep changing on me? And then the Friday before the home opener, they called me again and said, we're so sorry. We need to change the plans one last time. And I was like, man, the plans keep changing. My tailgating group's not going to show up for me. But they ended up putting us in this lot behind the stadium next to where the players park. And so that's where we tailgated. And then we were out there. We had, you know, Jack Stack barbecue. I mean, we did the tailgate up right. And then all of a sudden, I see Commissioner Goodell and Mr. Hunt walking towards us. But I thought they were probably walking to a group behind us that looked a lot more fancy than we did. And so I didn't even think anything of it. And then I had a couple of chief staff next to me saying, like, get ready, they're coming to you. And I'm like, what the? And then I had, like, barbecue sauce on me and all that. I'm like, wiping my hand down because I didn't want to have sticky hands, like, shaking their hand. So then I met them, and they just said, you know, they congratulated me on being the Lamar Hunt Legacy Honoree. They thanked me for the work that I do in Kansas City. Commissioner Goodell talked about, unfortunately, his mother had passed from breast cancer and how the work that I do is important. And then Mr. Hunt said that, you know, we have one more surprise for you. And he pulled out of a bag a jersey that said Fan of the Year 22. And he said, in addition to being the Lamar Hunt Legacy Honoree, we've chosen you as the 2022 Kansas City Chiefs Fan of the Year. And I was completely shocked. And then he said, we have another surprise for you. And he said, and you're going to the Super Bowl, because that's where the NFL Fan of the Year is announced. And now I'm competing against the other 131 teams and their Fan of the Year. So, you know, they said, we feel confident you're going to win. So it's like, whoa, the pressure is on. So all of these things were happening, and it was completely surreal. And my husband and I talk about it still, like, all the time, that did that really happen? So it's just, you know, to intermingle the love of what I do. I'm so passionate about the work that I do as a breast imaging radiologist and closing the gap to breast care inequities in Kansas City. And then just my love of the Chiefs. It's truly a dream come true and something I never fathomed would happen in my career.
Man,
I mean, this is awesome. By the way, you said that you were afraid you had sticky. Did Roger Goodell have sticky hands by any chance?
No.
Did you when you saw him walking up? Did you have like the inclination just to boo? Like, boo! It's the commissioner. That just, you know.
No, I always try to be respectful. I mean, he,
right.
You know, for better or for worse, he's in a very difficult position, and I don't wish that job, you know, for anything in the world. And he was very respectful, and he was very down to earth, just like Clark Hunt. And I had a very nice exchange with them.
So you find this out, and then Super Bowl tickets, and let's be honest, the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We realize that.
Yeah.
So I mean, what was going through your mind when they, because there was those giant Super Bowl tickets. You had to lose your mind, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it was a complete surprise, all these surprises being thrown at me. And, you know, what was really special was, you know, Joe was there, my husband, my brother was there, my dad was there. He hasn't been to a Chiefs game since the 90s, but he's also a diehard Chiefs fan. So, like, all my family's there. We had family friends there as well. And just to have them there and witness this moment, I think it was special for all of us. But just to be able to go to the Super Bowl and, you know, hopefully, you know, when the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, I mean, that's truly the icing on the cake.
Boy, Joe, so he nominates his wife, and now he's going to the Super Bowl.
wait, have you confirmed? Is she taking you? Is that for sure?
Well,
Amy, are you going to take Joe?
She says she is. Let's
okay,
see.
Okay, don't assume anything when it comes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no.
All right.
He earned his way. He's
okay.
Going. Yeah.
So let's go back to that. You nominating your wife, Joe, and listen. Okay, we're talking to her. It seems like that's a layup, right? That's an easy choice with all the things that she does for the community and does in her field, and she's a diehard Chiefs fan, but. You know, you still had to do it. So take me back. What made you decide, okay, I'm going to nominate Amy and see if we can win this thing?
Well, I mean, Amy has been such an avid Chiefs fan since I met her, and so have I, you know, going back since I was a kid. We've been coming down from Iowa for Chiefs games for quite a while. So, you know, we had season tickets for a while, and I knew that this is something that would be important to her. And then also, and most importantly, the work that she's done in the community. She's always making extra time to go, you know, the extra mile for all of her patients and to really get the word of breast care out there and the importance of that. So when I saw this come up, I thought, oh, this is perfect. We need to get her nominated for this. And lo and behold, it all came true.
Yeah, and
Joe,
you're
the man. Joe's the man.
Next time, he
makes you mad, though.
He is the most...
This is Hey, this
I'm
is a free
telling
ticket
you,
out of the doghouse.
Yep. Steven, he is what I call a unicorn husband. I know I can be a lot. You know, I work a lot. I do, as he alluded to, I work a lot outside clinical hours. I try to go above and beyond. I know this is horrible, and I need to do a better job at this, but when we're on vacation, a lot of times, you know, if a patient's worried, I call them, you know, if they leave me a voicemail, I call them. Like, I, you know, broke the news to a woman that she had breast cancer over the phone when he and I were on our honeymoon at Lake Tahoe, and he's always so gracious when I talk to patients and when it should just be our time together. He's one of the most supportive humans and the most supportive human for me I've ever met in my life. So I've definitely found the best partner, and he truly understands, you know, the love of what I do, and I can't thank him enough for how much he supports me.
You guys are spreading love right now to all the listeners of the Border Patrol. This is almost choking me up. So Amy, what you do, we've referenced that a few times, and I tried to read through. There's too many big words for me to read through your entire resume, and so I couldn't do that. But you are a star in your field, and you're doing such important work. And so you're the medical breast radiologist, medical director, the breast care center at Liberty Hospital. the chairman of Liberty Hospital Cancer Programs, assistant professor of radiology at the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Medicine, the chair of the American College of Radiology Advocacy Network, president-elect American Association for Women in Radiology. Did I miss anything?
Amy. Well, and starting in January, just to bring it on home, I'm going to be chair of the American Cancer Society Kansas City Board, so the chairman's circle. And so, yeah.
There we go. I was wondering if you could do something else.
Oh, well.
Right? But seriously, this is, okay, so we all have women in our lives that we love, and I feel like we've all known someone that has battled breast cancer. I think about our former producer, my guy, Jay Gutierrez, whose mom battled breast cancer. And so, you know, you have this platform right now. You have a whole bunch of people, hopefully, that are listening. Tell people, and we were going to do this last month for breast cancer awareness, but we pushed it to this month. But still, I want to spread awareness, and I want you to use this platform to tell people what they need to hear.
Thank you.
Just you take it.
Yeah. So, you know, the message I want to get out there is COVID's really devastated our cancer community when it comes to screenings. And so we're still, when you look at the data, at about 85% of routine mammographic screenings in terms of, you know, we still have a percentage of women not going in to get their mammogram. It remains to be seen sort of the aftermath, the long-term aftermath of breast cancer diagnoses. But anecdotally, what many of us are seeing in the field throughout the country is delayed diagnoses of breast cancer. And we know if we can find a breast cancer when it's less than 1 centimeter in size, your survival probability is 100%. I mean, the technologies, the treatments these days is truly remarkable. But once you have a breast cancer that's reaching 5 centimeters plus, your survival probability plummets. So that's why we always preach early detection. The earlier we can find that cancer, you know, the better your survival probability is, and less invasive treatment, right? You wouldn't necessarily have to lose your whole breast once you have surgery. You could have what's called a lumpectomy, where we just take out one part of the breast so you can preserve the rest. So, you know, it's so important for you to get in and get that mammogram. We recommend annual screening mammography starting at age 40 if you're average risk for breast cancer. And now if you're high risk for breast cancer, meaning you have a 20% or greater lifetime risk, we're recommending annual breast MRI from the ages of 25 to 29. And starting at age 30, annual screening mammography alternating every 6 months with breast MRI or ultrasound if you're unable to have MRI. So we're getting very aggressive about screening and heightened surveillance in high-risk women, and we are preaching annual screening mammography at 40 in average-risk women, so we need to get women out. We need to get them screened, and we need to get them risk-assessed.
Nate Bucati.
It's really powerful to hear you talking about this right now, because I was talking with Amy during the break. I just got back from Boston this past weekend, where we did our last Big Steps race in Boston. And here in Kansas City, everybody that listens to this show has heard me talk about the Big Steps race over the last 10 years. One of the things that we raise money for is the genetic counseling program at the Kansas University Hospital. And that's exactly what you talked about in terms of if you have a family history, if there's a possible genetic link to you having more high risk of a type of cancer like breast cancer, you can get yourself counseling that will tell you how often you need to get screened. You know, some people might need to get screened more than others, and hearing the numbers about people who get their diagnosis earlier in the process and how much better their chances are of survival, it's no small thing to say you're literally saving people's lives by making sure that more people get their screening and more people get their know when to get screened and how often to and all of those things. So what's the biggest challenge? How do we get that other 15% screened as often as they need to right now?
Well, I think awareness is a large part of it. So I really appreciate you letting me have this as a platform to, I know you have a very large listenership, so I really appreciate that. I think education is important. I really try to impress upon our medical community, specifically those who are breast radiologists such as me, breast surgeons, oncologists. It takes a village to get the word out, to educate our patient population. It is also important that we educate patients to let them know that our technologists are very skilled to perform a mammogram, to try to mitigate any discomfort or quell any, you know, fears they have in getting a mammogram. There are little tips and tricks that we can do to try to make the experience as comfortable as possible. So I think education, boots on the ground advocacy is really important. That's kind of who I embody. I like to go out in the community. I like to educate. That advocacy, I think, is really important. And the more of us that can get out there and educate the patients, I believe that more women will come in and get screened.
Are there certain demographics that are less likely to get screened, and is it more mistrust of the system or lack of understanding what they should be doing?
All of the above. So we know that particularly underrepresented minorities have difficulties in terms of access, whether it's geographics, whether it's financial. We unfortunately in Missouri, and one of my areas of expertise and research is breast health equity. And Missouri, unfortunately, has one of the highest breast cancer death rates in Black and Hispanic women in the entire country. And there are specific hot spots where the breast cancer death rates are worse. And one of them is the county in which I was raised, Livingston County. In Chillicothe, those Livingston County towns, we have such high breast cancer death rates in Black and Hispanic women. We know that if you are a rural patient, it takes about 45 minutes to get to a place to even get a mammogram, a 45-minute commute. So between the financial aspect, insurance, there's a lot of women that are uninsured, underinsured, and just geographically. We have a lot of work to do. So I sit on the Missouri Breast Cancer Consortium. I sit on another Health Equity Committee Task Force that is comprised of stakeholders from around the Kansas City area, both on the Missouri and Kansas side, and we're really trying to work together to bridge the gap to disparities, because we have problems just as bad in Northwest Missouri in terms of access as we do in urban Kansas City, as we do, in eastern Kansas, rural Kansas.
Okay, so again, Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. She is the Chiefs Fan of the Year, and she is in the running for NFL Fan of the Year. I have just retweeted the video of you being greeted by Roger Goodell and Clark Hunt, and there is a link at that retweet where you can go and vote for Amy. And I saw that Samir has already retweeted my retweet, so he's clearly listening. So we got this thing going right now. But to break it down here, if there's a woman that's listening, or if it's my wife or Nate's wife, and they want more information, or if they want to act on the information that you've given them, what tell them what they need to do?
So, I would say that the most important thing is make sure that you're getting in for your mammogram. See where the mammograms are being read by a breast imaging specialist. That's really important. Breast imaging specialists have extra training to really, interpret the breast at a higher level to pick up on subtle cancers early. I would strongly recommend that you go, that your wives go somewhere to get their mammogram where a breast imaging radiologist, a specialist, is interpreting your mammogram. And there's so many ways to schedule, whether you schedule online, whether you schedule on the phone. And then also, just for broad general sort of information, I do have my own website. It's www.dramykpatel.com, where you can kind of, I try to educate patients in the community at large. There's a place where you can email me if you have any specific questions. So a lot of times I'll have patients that just email me from all over the country asking me questions about breast health and what they should do. Please, email me. I'm happy to help in any way. But otherwise, please get that mammogram, and please make sure that you have a breast imaging specialist interpreting it.
Hey, you're on hashtag AskAmyMD.
Yes, that's my hashtag.
So, you've got, and then I like the fact that the main picture is you in a Chiefs jersey flexing. Because
that's that Fan of the Year jersey.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Joe, you listen to all this. You got, this is your wife. Does that just blow your mind? I mean, everything she lists, all everything that she does and everything that she's accomplished, you are obviously a very lucky man.
Yes, it does blow my mind, of course, and she continues to blow my mind more every day. And I agree, I am a very lucky man. It's been quite a road so far, and I'm excited for the future.
But
so,
I'm lucky, too. He's a super,
both of you are. No, that's right.
He's also a super architect, and so he blows my mind with the things that he creates, and he's such a creative human. We're so different when it comes to vocations, but he's equally incredible.
Well, you guys both blow my mind because I don't know how to do nothing but talk, and here I am, and that's it.
How do you guys find time to go to the Chiefs games?
We make that a priority. Like, that is non-negotiable. You know, I think one of the reasons why we fell in love with each other is because we love the Chiefs. So our second date, Minsky's Pizza off Berry Road, watched the Chiefs and the Rams game. And I think that's kind of when we both knew. We didn't say it because that'd be kind of weird, like, after your second date being like, I want to bury you, you know. But I think we both in the back of our minds were like, you know, this could be something special. So 2019, got season tickets, finally could afford it. I said, one of the goals when I became a physician is I wanted to be able to afford season tickets. Growing up, we did not have we just didn't have the income to go to the games. So we watched the games at home on TV. And so I said, once I become a doctor, I'm in a position to get season tickets. I want to get season tickets. Joe went in on me with me in 2019. We go to every game for the most part. I mean, we very rarely miss games. We make it a priority. Everything else, you know, we have to push aside whenever there's a home game, playoff game. We're there.
This is so awesome. You were the Minsky's right down the street from my house. You guys could have DM'd me. I would have come down there.
Oh, anytime. Now that I know this.
Right. Yeah. I'm right. Hey, that Northland, let's go.
All right.
Okay, so how confident are you that you will be watching the Chiefs in Arizona? It was a big weekend. Buffalo lost. The Chiefs won again. So any concerns, since you're the fan of the year, we have to get your opinion. Any concerns about the Chiefs now that they have the one seed in the AFC?
I don't have concerns. I do think, however, we need to just shore up special teams just a little bit. But otherwise, I have no concerns. What a sweet day. I mean, the Bills lost. You know, the Broncos lost. I mean, this couldn't have, like, been a better day. We won. So I'm feeling pretty confident. But, you know, I do a lot of, like, nerdy research. You know, I'm a doctor, so I do a lot of nerdy research. And sports is, you know, I do research with that, too. And, gosh, those Dolphins fans, I mean, they're pretty confident that they're going to somehow get the one seed. And I'm like, I don't know about that. So I'm also researching, their fan of the year and other fans of the year too, and seeing kind of what they're saying out there. But I'm definitely confident that we can do this. I'm feeling better than I ever have.
Okay, so and we appreciate you and Joe coming in studio. So we're gonna wrap this up by asking you. So you're actually a listener of the Border Patrol.
Oh, heck yeah.
That blows our mind. We're not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we want to advertise that during this campaign.
No, right. We should. You guys are awesome. You make me laugh. I listen to you on the way to work every morning. I mean, I love how you bring, you know, your flavor of sports, but you're funny. You bring in the legendary Gary Lezak. Like, he's amazing.
Right.
He's the gem of Kansas City. So I really, really enjoy your show.
Okay, so Gary's going through this process right now that he's getting ready to retire from 41 Action News, and he keeps, well, I don't, if you guys want me to stay on the radio, and we've already established this and I've already told him, but he wants to hear it continually. And so could you please right now tell Gary how much you want him to stay on the Border Patrol?
Oh, my gosh. Last night I asked my husband, I said, hey, did you hear anything if Gary's going to stay on? I know he's retiring. So the fact that we had a discussion last night about Gary Lezak before bedtime, please, Gary, you've got to remain. Like, for your fan, you have so many fans. You've got to stay on this show, please.
Gary, the NFL fan of the year candidate, the Chiefs fan of the year, is telling you you've got to stay. Maybe you'll listen to her because you won't listen to me. Nate, any final words for our wonderful guests, please?
You want to give a shout out to you? She brought a whole crew in here today, not just Joe.
Yeah.
So who else?
An entourage.
You,
oh, I was told entourage.
To bring in here today.
So I brought in, you know, my husband Joe, who's amazing, and then I brought in our PR and marketing team at Liberty Hospital. They are just, I can't speak better words for them. They are so supportive of me in my career. Michelle Manuel, she handles all the breast program PR and marketing, and she's also become such a dear friend. We've got Bill, who's our incredible graphic art designer. He spices up, you know, healthcare as much as you can, and I'm so grateful to be working with this team. I know I'm biased, but I truly feel that we have one of the best teams in the Kansas City Metro.
You know, I want to say this for you too as well. I've learned this because of what my wife does for a living. She works at a local hospital and does and focuses on women's health. Same type of thing in a different part of women's health, but the reason she decided to do it is because she feels it's an underserved area. Women have not gotten the treatment that they deserve in pelvic floor health is what she does. And she is always talking to me about the importance of the marketing component. You might sit there and think to yourself, it's a hospital. We are marketing cancer. No, you're marketing the services that are available to people so that they do get their mammograms, so they do get their treatments and all those things. So this is a very important couple of people over here because you can't do your job if people don't know that you're there to do what you do, right?
And we have monthly meetings where we sit down and go over the educational pieces. And a lot of what they disseminate is very educational. And again, you know, I am only one person. And so having this team that's able to amplify our message. And at our hospital, we do have some pillars of focus. And one of our pillars is women's health. So we're really making women's health a priority in the Northland. And again, I'm just so blessed and grateful to work with them.
Boy, we're lucky to have you in this city.
That's right. And Amy, listen, I'm not kidding. Yes. You have a free pass, and Joe as well. Anytime you want to come on the show, if you have something that you want to spread awareness about, if you have an event, if you, anything, and it doesn't have to be as far as being voted for Fan of the Year. We want to continue to do that. So anything we do to help you win this damn election, an election actually you don't get sick of hearing about. So please involve us. Let us help you.
Okay.
And then moving forward, we want to be part of this process of getting awareness out there and helping more women get care that they need. And all I ask is this. I'll be in studio next time you're here if you promise you bring Samir with you.
Oh, my gosh. I think it'll make his life. I'll bring him in.
Okay, and then we'll all maybe me, you, Nate, Joe, Samir, we'll all go out to lunch or something and figure out what's wrong with the Chiefs if they're disappointing us. But something tells me we're going to be real happy the rest of the year. But, Amy, congratulations. You are an absolute – I echo what Nate says. We're lucky to have you in this town. You're a superstar. You're the – guess what? I've just been told you've been named Border Patrol Fan of the Year.
Yep.
Oh, heck yeah.
Can you believe that?
Boom. Love it.
Somebody just handed me that. Marco just sent me a text message. Joe, thank you so much. Joe, you made this happen. You're pushing all the buttons behind the scene. You made this happen, Joe. You get credit for doing this.
He's the architect of this whole thing.
There we go.
That was a good one, yeah.
That's why we get paid the mediocre bucks. Thank you so much for your time. Vote for Dr. Amy K. Patel for NFL Fan of the Year. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Let's check in with our good friend Greg Gurley. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
Doing good. How about you, man?
Fantastic. You know, it's been about 6 months since we last talked. I was very tired that morning that we talked to you after the national championship. I can't believe it's been 6 months.
I ever need a quick pick me up, I check out those videos you sent me.
It's fun to flip through, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, hey, you know, why not? It looked like you were celebrating a national championship, and that's exactly what you were doing. Hey, before we get into basketball, real quick, man, I haven't had a chance to ask you this. Just around the athletic department and everything else, how much fun has this been to see Lance Leipold? He comes on our show every Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. But turn this thing around, get some big wins, and get Kansas into a bowl game.
No, I mean, you know, selfishly for me, it makes my job so much easier. It's so much fun. You're so happy for the guys that give their heart and soul to the program, and the turnaround has just been amazing. You guys have Lance, like you said, every Tuesday, and he's great. He's done magic. I mean, he comes in here, it shows you what coaching will do, and it shows you what a whole staff will do. It's not just Lance. You know, he brings his guys from Buffalo with him, and they've been amazing. And so as far as around the athletic department, you know, those three straight sellouts we had in a row back in October, I mean, and again, a position like I'm in as far as, you know, promoting KU athletics, fundraising, it makes my job so much easier. And I'm just happy for everyone involved because we've endured, you know, over a decade worth of frustration. And so not that, you know, you feel sorry for anybody, but you're just like, it's so cool to see them have success. It's for a school like ours that has just been down for so long. It shows you that when you win, people will come. And they did it with the Royals back in the, you know, 13, 14, 15. You obviously with the Chiefs have always been there, but it shows you that when you win, you will fill a stadium. And it's one of the best settings in all of college football at the bottom of the hill. And it's fall Saturdays have been a blast.
So do you just want to keep talking to me? You want to talk to your little friend? He just got back in studio.
I would like to talk to my little friend. I mean, it's probably the longest this show is gone without Nate chiming in with a long question. So,
well, he was out. I was told he was out socializing with some people out in the hallway and didn't care to come in studio for the beginning of your segment. So he's back now.
That's the least surprising thing I think I'll hear today. Yes.
Hey, how were those steaks that I got you from the Greengrass Cattle Company the other day, by the way?
Unbelievable. We sous-vide them and then seared them a little bit, and I'm a believer in those steaks were amazing, so I appreciate that gift a while back. Amy and I enjoyed them thoroughly.
Nice. If there's somebody I want to get good steaks to, Stephen, that comes on this show regularly, I figured they'd be appreciated by Greg Gurley. So,
right.
So is that kind of a backhanded compliment slash fast joke?
I don't know, man.
There's something in there that wasn't totally genuine. That whatever. Go ahead, Nate.
Let's talk some basketball, dude. You guys. This, it's like it's sneaking up on all of us, I think, because there's just so much going on in Kansas City right now with the football team doing well and the Chiefs playing the way they are and all that stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, KU plays Duke tonight. And this was the game that most of us thought we were going to get in the national championship game last year. And then North Carolina upset the apple cart by beating Duke. And, of course, we all know what happened in the national championship game after that. A lot of the players that would have been involved in that one have moved on. But how good is this one tonight? Kansas and Duke, still two top 10 teams ranked in the polls.
Well, it's great. You know, I was watching college football on Saturday, and they were showing the promo for this night. And it's just like you said, it's Kentucky, Michigan State, and us and Duke. It's just fantastic. They do the college football playoff. I love this time of year. It did kind of sneak up on us, and you're right. The national championship game was a little different than most people thought, especially after North Carolina going in just a couple weeks prior and beating Duke in Coach K's farewell swan song, which you just assume that, you know, Duke was better. They had four first-round draft picks, and you just figured they were going to win. And when they didn't, it ended Coach K's career. After we beat Villanova and we're in the hotel watching the Duke-Carolina game, which is one of the great games of all time in the NCAA tournament history until our game happened. And I was secretly rooting for North Carolina because I knew how stacked Duke was. I mean, they had guys. They had athletes. They had size. They had it all. And Carolina just outplayed them. And if we're down 15 at half to Duke, I don't know how confident I would have felt coming back against Banchero. I mean, all the guys they had, they just had, and that's taking nothing away from North Carolina, except they just, Duke seemed to have more like real guys. And so obviously we go on to win and spend an amazing 6 months. And when you look at this game, both teams lost a ton. They lost a ton. We lost a ton. You know, we lost eight guys and we reloaded with three McDonald's All-Americans. They did the same, like they always do. So, They've got a lot of the same, I wouldn't call them issues, it's just growing pains when you're a good team that has a lot of young guys. You know, Lively's a guy for them that only played in one of their first two games, but he's special. He's long and athletic and can run and jump, and he's kind of like our guys, though. He probably doesn't know exactly what he's doing, especially in a system where there's no – the continuity is going to kind of be there with John Shire because he was a coach last year, but it's still different. It's his program now. So I think the unknowns are, you know, what are you going to see? How are they going to react under the bright lights? And that goes for our team. It goes for their team. Grady Dick's been amazing for us in the first two games. But that's against Nebraska, Omaha, and North Dakota State. Now, you know, we were talking last week with some just some guys around the office. Like, we're going to find out who we really are because we played great against North Dakota State. But that's not Duke. Yes, North Dakota State could be a NCAA tournament team, but that's not Duke. And that's what makes this early season big-time matchup so fun. You really do find out who you really are.
So, look, we'll get to Grady Dick in a second because, I mean, he's looked like everybody's excited about him right now. But I want to talk about Jalen Wilson first because down at Big 12 Media Day when I was interviewing Bill Self, and I'm sure he said it to more people than just me, but he said that Jalen Wilson needs to play at a first-team All-American level this year. And, I mean, I just think, like, if you're at Kansas and the coach puts that kind of pressure on you, what an opportunity that is. I mean, you know, Bill Self doesn't just go out that and say that about everybody. We saw, like, Ochai Agbaji, for example, take that step last year and become that kind of guy. And so far, you know, Jalen Wilson had 21 points against North Dakota State. Are you seeing from him that he's embracing that sense of responsibility to be that level of player for KU this year?
100%. And he's stepped up big time, whether it be on the court, whether it be he's a team leader, and he's just accepted that role because Bill's big about that. He wants guys to step up, and you got to have an alpha dog. You got to have that guy that is the team spokesman and kind of gets everyone together. Jalen Wilson has embraced that. And, you know, you look back a couple of years ago, and I've said this before, I don't think that we win a national championship if we don't get whooped by USC in Indianapolis 2 years ago by 31, I think it was. We all, you know, everyone just kind of looked at what we are and how we're going to improve, how we're going to develop. And Jalen Wilson was one of the great examples. He was bad. He was bad in that game. He was bad late down the stretch. You know, with the transfer portal coming, we didn't really know what was going to happen. And he came back and, you know, had a rough patch. He got in trouble, had a suspension. And since then, he's reacted so in such a positive manner and has been that guy on and off the court. He's our spokesman at everything. He gets up, takes a leadership role. And then that's all off the court type stuff. But on the court, you could just see a difference in the way he plays. So consistent, inside and out, can rebound the ball, start the break. He's become a much better three-point shooter. He's become a much better mid-range shooter. And he can always drive to the basket. He's sneaky athletic, although he's not going to jump over you. He's just strong and is strong with the ball, strong at the rim. But you couldn't ask for a better leader. And tonight, again, I keep saying it, will show us a lot about who's going to step up. And I think Jalen Wilson is the guy.
So now to Grady Dick. Look, when I remember, obviously, the news came out when he had committed to Kansas. He was a big-time prospect. It's not like he's a guy that's just a no-name. But I feel like a lot of times when a kid comes out of the state of Kansas, even when he's relatively highly touted, I just kind of have this thing in my head where I expect it to take him a little while to grow into the Division I game because – be perfectly honest, like the talent you're going up against in the state of Kansas might not necessarily be what it is if you're coming from the other more populous areas in the country. And I mean, he just jumps in and he's scoring 17.5 through the first two games. I know, like you said, it's not Duke. We'll see what he does tonight. But he's throwing down dunks. He's hitting outside shots. I mean, if you wouldn't think if you just looked out there, this kid's a freshman that's from Wichita, Kansas. Are you guys surprised at how he is like just hit the ground running like this, or is this what you expected when he got on campus?
I think two things. I think Me personally, I'm a little surprised simply because I watched him since June in practice, because you get the NCAA allows you to practice throughout the summer. So I've been watching him for several months. And in practice, he was good, but he was just kind of a guy. He was just another guy. He made shots, but wasn't particularly strong at the rim, was okay defensively. So, you know, I was on the pregame show before our exhibition game, and David Lawrence was just talking about the crazy expectations, what I think I'm going to see. And I go, you know what? Just pump the brakes a little bit. It's hard to come out and just – he's never going to live up to the expectations. Like you said, he was so highly touted, and everybody was talking about him. McDonald's All-American. A couple publications had him as the player of the year in the country. So you're like, all right, we got a one and done. We got a guy that's going to get us 20-10. And I said, just pump the brakes. And then we play the exhibition game, and then Nebraska, Omaha, and North Dakota State, and he was great. Like, exceeded my expectations. I don't think he exceeded Bill's, because Bill knew what he had, and he's obviously smarter than all of us as far as talent evaluation. But I love the fact that he doesn't show a ton of emotion. He's just steady. And what he does better than any 18-year-old I've seen in a long time is that he prepares himself to shoot. So, like, when he uses the screen, his feet are set, his hands are ready, he gets it, has a really quick release. It's a high release above his head. It's really difficult to guard, because it's one thing to be ready. It's another thing to catch it and shoot it all in one motion. He doesn't have to bring it down to his hip and kind of gain that strength to shoot it, which is an advance. You know, that just shows you how much he's developed over his younger years. And then the other thing is, yes, he's a Kansas kid, but he played at a different place. He didn't just play at Shawnee Mission South. He played at Sunrise, which goes all over the country and plays against the best talent. One of his teammates, obviously, we're going to see tonight, Mark Mitchell, who's a Kansas City kid as well, that went down to Sunrise and played and is leading Duke in scoring right now. So it's a little different when you play at a Sunrise, because the talent that you play against day in and day out is a little different.
Greg Gurley has been our guest. Greg, final question. Hey, you know, forever when we watch Duke and Kansas, it's a battle of two Hall of Fame coaches and Coach K and Bill Self. And tonight, it's Norm Roberts versus John Shire. How much of a wild card is that?
Well, it's definitely different. It's something that, you know, we're all looking forward to seeing John Shire's first real game against Bill Self. And Bill's had a nice record against Coach K, but you throw all that out the window. They're not here. Bill's not going to coach against him, but Norm's, you know, we've been around Norm. I've been around Norm for 20 plus years, and he's such a good dude. He knows the game. I mean, the kids that we get are because of Norm Roberts and Curtis Townsend, and going into this role tonight, it's not that big of a jump. He was head coach at St. John's for many years, and he's been around big time ball a long time. So yes, it's different, but as we saw in the first couple games, there's no drop off.
Greg, we appreciate your time, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. We'll talk to you later.
That is a Greg Gurley. His appearance on the Border Patrol brought to you by the Hilton President Hotel, the only hotel in the Power and Light District just steps away from T-Mobile Center. Over 200 rooms and suites to choose from. It's my favorite place to stay in Kansas City. Call them at 816-221-9490 or check them out online at presidentkansascity.hilton.com. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's go to Gary Lezak. Gary, it's a very light snow up in the Northland off Berry Road right now. You could barely see it, but what about the rest of the city?
That's why I put my video in slow motion, so you can see the snowflakes drift by Rainbow and Sunny's face. And Rainbow is a black lab mix. So you can see it, the white snowflakes flying right in front of her. It's really cool. But hey, the roads were fine. No slick spots. Temperatures stayed above freezing all night long. Isn't that good news? Isn't that the way you like snow?
Why not?
Heck yeah.
I don't think my daughters think that was good news, because they were looking for a snow day, Gary.
Well, we knew there wouldn't be a snow day out of this one. So those are coming. There's going to be three or four of those this winter, okay? Our winter forecast is coming out right before I leave on November the 30th. We're going to have our winter forecast, so we'll go over the details then. Snow, are you in the snow camp or no snow camp?
You know, I like some snow for the kids. I don't mind it as long as it doesn't get crazy. I'm more, I don't like the ice or the sleet. If it's a nice, fluffy snow that I can, I don't know if I can, probably physically can't do snow angels right now, but then, you know, something you could do snow angels with, something you could, you know, I could throw some snowballs at Nate, something like that.
Are you in the Washington surprised you last night or Philadelphia surprised you last night?
I didn't think Philly was going to win. I thought they would have their hands full, but I am surprised they lost. I did want to mention that we had Dr. Amy K. Patel on the show earlier, and she has been named the Chiefs Fan of the Year, and she's nominated for the NFL Fan of the Year. And her and her husband, Joe, are huge Gary Lezak fans, and they said they were even talking about you last night, wondering if you were going to stay on the Border Patrol. So she gave her public plea for you to stay on the Border Patrol. So now have you had enough people beg you? So now you will confirm that you'll be staying on the Border Patrol.
I can confirm that I'm planning on doing that. Yes. So
Nick, can you deal with him,
good.
Please?
Yeah. You can confirm that you're planning on doing it.
Right. That's my plan. Isn't that good? It's good to have a plan, right? So it depends on what you, it's up to you guys, you know.
That's I've already to told
we,
you.
We've already said that we want you back. Wait, is this some kind of like? Are you trying to strong arm us? Is this a negotiating ploy?
Is that
what's happening
here?
Yeah, exactly. See,
wow.
You know how it works. That's what. What do you think? That's what you do. You know. I'm strong arming you.
All right.
He's holding us over a barrel right now, Stephen. That's what's happening.
What? Wow.
Hey, Gary. My boss asked me why I only get sick on work days. I told him it must be because of my weekend immune system.
Ooh, that's perfect. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Do you realize I never called in sick my entire 38-year career? I never called
that's
in
hard,
sick.
It's hard to believe.
It's because you take 15 weeks of vacation to Las Vegas every year.
Yeah, there you go. That's the reason. If you take enough vacation, you don't ever have to call in sick.
Wasn't a sick day, it was a vacation day.
I know, exactly. All right, I'm going to do the weather. Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you sure you're ready for this?
Are you going to do the weather?
Yes,
you're planning
sir.
To do the weather.
I sometimes claim and then I don't run out of time. I better get rolling.
Thanks,
cloudy.
Gary.
It's over. Cloudy. Some breaks of sunshine later. Any snow that's out there will mostly melt, except north-facing buildings may still maintain a little bit of that snow that's accumulated. Down to the south, it was up to 2 inches, believe it or not, down towards southwest of Raymore, Peculiar, Belton down there. Most areas had a dusting, though. And it'll melt, a high today of 37. Tomorrow, 32. And then Friday, it's going to be 27. And then this weekend, we'll warm back up into the 40s. Outlook for Thanksgiving week, storm that I was looking at, just a slight chance of a storm Thanksgiving week. We'll monitor that very closely on KSHB 41 News tonight. I did the weather today. I have 37 degrees. Have a good
Thanks,
day,
Thanks, Gary.
Guys. Yeah. You have another dad joke?
No, we have a thing called a commercial break, though, which
oh,
Nate
man.
And you are very unfamiliar with. Back after this on WHB.